Scotty, I got to ask you a question real quick before we really dig into the meat of the podcast.
Okay.
And we'll get to that here in just a second. And then we're going to talk about something really cool and special to Holly that could be helpful for all of us. We'll get to that in our podcast.
Unscripted.
What?
Unshackled. Uncouth.
Miguel, Holly, and Scotty are bringing you a new uncensored podcast daily to make sense of your quickly changing world.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored. Corncast Edition from Hot 101.5.
Made hot by Corona Beer.
Yes, thank you, Corona Beer, for making this happen. And I finally got my hand on some of the new Corona seltzers. Oh, my God. That is so good.
Oh, it's real good.
They are so good. I really wish I could, like, get in there and sort of, like, see how they make it. Because you, when you think about, like, the flavorings that they have and how, like, when you look at it, it's obviously clear. And then when you drink it, it has that, like, explosion of flavor.
Yeah.
And you're like, how do you do that? Like, how do you get in a lab and you do that?
But you don't.
Science.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to make it colorful to make it flavorful.
I know, but I mean, you have to admit, it's kind of weird. It's like, remember when they tried, well, you don't remember this guy, you weren't born yet, but what was it?
Clear Pepsi.
Yes, and it was just like the same taste, but it's clear, and you're expecting like the brown.
Yeah, that was weird though, and that's where they went wrong.
Oh, that's weird, but drinking clear mango is fine?
Yes, because we don't have a preconceived notion of what mango tastes like already, like in a bubbly, fizzy form. Mm. We knew exactly what Pepsi was about to taste like, and then the fact that it was clear, it's like when you think that a cookie is chocolate chip and it's oatmeal raisin.
Oh.
You're like, I know what this is. Oh, wait, this is weird on my brain.
And it just slaps you in the face. You're like, whoa.
You already expect something delightful from the seltzers.
Whoa.
Well.
Whoa.
So. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, no, you know what made me think of that is
No, there's no way.
You know what made me think of that? Abe and I started watching, well, Scott started watching it with us, but clearly he got bored and
it's
left.
It's not that I got bored.
It's about your people, and you left.
All right, we'll explain, and then I'll explain my people. It's not even that big of an explanation. I just, sometimes I have things in my head that I'm like, I really, really would like to do this today.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew by the end of that show, it'd be bedtime, and I wanted to like focus on getting in bed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't want to be up like doing the stuff that I was trying to do. So I went down, and I got my stuff, my life back together in my room.
Yeah. Okay.
And so it wasn't worth the show.
Well, there is a show on HBO called The Plot Against America. And it's about a working class Jewish family in New Jersey watches the political rise of aviator hero and xenophobic populist Charles Lindbergh as he becomes president, blah, blah, blah. So HBO show, normally they literally almost probably every HBO show that's ever existed, the first episode, it's always just setting up the storyline.
Yes.
So it's a little dry.
It needs that, though.
It does, because it establishes the premise. But I thought Scott being half Jewish. And the last sort of a show that Abe and I watched had to do with Jewish, we started the first couple of episodes without Scott. And so I was like, well, this could be perfect bonding time. We got plenty of time. I want to know more about your people, Scott. And so this would be perfect bonding. And then in the middle of it, Scott just gets up and just walks downstairs. Doesn't say, hey, guys, I'll be back. He just got off the couch and then just walked downstairs. And I was like,
it was just like an extra that was there. You're like, oh, we're going to start this show. If you want to start, and one of my goals, I'm always about goals, is like, oh, sorry, I'll spend some more time in the living room with everyone while we're watching shows.
Mm-hmm.
However, what, especially yesterday or just other day, I got wrapped up in other work stuff during the day, which is when I planned on knocking out the other stuff that I wanted to get done on my to-do. Every morning I wake up, I put a little to-do list of what I got to do that day.
Right.
And I was like, I need to get these things done. And so I knew during that show that it's like, okay, if I sit here and watch this whole show, that's going to push back my other goal, which is to get to bed earlier, because I've been tired, and the night before, I was up very late working on something for the show. So I was like, all right, the show is great, but it's getting a little late, and I know I have other things to do. So I grab my water, and I head downstairs. But I didn't want to make a scene and be like, guys, I'm out of here.
Right.
Because I didn't want to, you know, stop your showtime, and I didn't know I was a big factor in the show of that night.
Well, just so you know, when you walk downstairs, I did pause it for a little bit because I thought that you were coming back upstairs.
Yeah, it's tough because I am really trying to get back on going to bed at like 9. Like, that's my goal. Like, I guess the whole thing around this whole thing is like, I have been so tired when I get like done with this that it messes up the whole rest of my day, because then I go home and I'm like, ooh, maybe I'll take a little nap. That nap ends up being like 2-3 hours sometimes, and I'm like, and it just bothers me because I'm like, ah, I want to do stuff. I don't want to sleep all day. So it's just all roots back to, we just watch shows really late and I'm just trying to go to bed earlier, and it's a hard thing to balance unless I get everything done during the day, which I could, except if I take a nap, then I don't, and then I get pushed. And then when I'm watching a show, I'm like, oh, I should probably still do it now.
That's just one of the things about this job. The schedule never gets easier.
Yeah, you can try and shuffle around those sleep hours, but it's like we're not ever getting a normal amount of sleep.
No, yeah. That's what I'm trying to just, but I know, like, I feel like in my head, I know the brackets. Like, if I go to bed between 9 and 9:30, I could make it the next day without a nap.
Mm.
Now, if I go outside of that, like the night, you know, yesterday, that night before, I went to bed. It was like probably midnight. And I was like, I'm done. Like, I knew it. And I knew during that day, I was like, I got a little one. Luckily, during my nap, I got a call from the boss. I was like, hey, you need to work on this one thing. So that got me up. If not, I would have probably slept for like another like 2 hours.
Oof. I can't do naps like that. I can't do the long hour. Like, I can.
I don't want to. Yeah. I just, next thing you know, I wake up and I'm like, what? Then there goes my day of which I wanted to be productive. And now it's weird because there's not really anything to do except for all the stuff that I've been saying for a long time I've wanted to do. And so it just keeps getting pushed back on the back burner. And for me, that like, that bothers the crap out of my brain where I'm like, well, there's another day. You just pushed it back. I'm like, no, I could do it now.
I wonder, like, what's that last thing on everyone's to-do list that they have? You know, because over the past 4 weeks, as our society's changed and we're all spending way more time at home than we ever thought, and you're like, all right, well, let me be productive. And that's mm-hmm. what you thought at the beginning of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you cleaned out your closet and you finally vacuumed out the back of your car. But, like, what's that last thing on your to-do list that every day you're like, you know, I'll just wait. Like, for me, I think that's probably going through, like, the Halloween costumes I have. For some reason, I've collected Halloween costumes throughout the years.
Well, you never know what you're going to need.
Exactly. But I've always wanted to sort of, like, organize them, put them in one spot. So, like, if we're like, ooh, we want to film something for the show, and I'm like, hey, guys, I have a DJ Kitty outfit that we can pull out to film
some
sort of video.
Same, by the way, I also have that outfit.
Right? Or I've got a banana jumpsuit.
Yeah.
Like, what are we going to need that for?
I don't know.
But every day I'm like, that just involves going in boxes over here, a closet downstairs, up on top of the closet upstairs. And I'm like,
I need to go through my garage.
Oof.
And I don't want to. Like, I need to, especially because my mom has started bringing it up, and she will continue to bring it up like a harbinger of cleaning the garage.
Oh, no.
And it's like, I'm talking like, it's not just my stuff. It's some of her stuff, too. And then she wants you to sit there and do it all with her. And it's like, that sounds like the most horrific thing in my life. I probably will never do it. Like,
I mean, can't you just have her, like, that'll be her project for, like, a weekend where it's, like, you can go out and check in on her as she does it? Or, like, if you have everything sort of, like is it in boxes?
Yeah.
If you can, like, pull the boxes down so she can, like, here's the to-go pile, here's the keep pile.
You would think, but...
But she wants you to, like, be right there.
Yeah, or she'll have, like, questions where because she doesn't just like go in with a mindset of like clearing it out. She'll go in and then she starts looking through photos and then she's like, come here, I need you, come here. And I come down there and it's like a baby blanket from 1986. She's like, do you remember this? And I was like, no, I mean, you kept that for you. No, I kept it for you. Do you want it? Where do you want to put it now? And I'm like, I don't know. And then we have this about every item. And then it's like, I'm already like, nope, I don't want to do it. They're already in boxes in the garage. We can fit a car in there if need be. I'm fine.
Wow. So you're just going to keep that stuff in boxes probably. That'll never get done on your list.
I just feel like it never will.
No, that's fine. Holly, so we want to talk to what we've been alluding to for a while that I think is going to be really, what has been cool for you so far.
Absolutely.
And what is it?
It's this therapy. It's a treatment for depression. It's called TMS. And Dr. Upshaw works with NeuroSpa TMS here in Tampa Bay. And I've been having the procedure done for like the last month. And so we wanted to get him on the phone and talk about what exactly it is.
It sounds really cool and you're having a great success from it.
Right. And that's what's awesome. Are you saying hi or am I saying hi?
Hello?
Hello, Dr. Upshaw?
Yes.
Hi, this is Miguel, Holly, and Scotty the Body from Hot 101.5. You're on our podcast. Welcome.
Thank you.
Now, Holly has been telling us on our podcast for a while now, or alluding to this sort of new treatment. And if this is the right way to describe it, Holly, you said it's sort of like when, think about how years ago when the medical community said, hey, there is a pill you can take to help with the sadness and the clouds that you feel.
Right.
Think about how revolutionary that was at the time. They were like, what? How can you do that? And so now we're facing this sort of new treatment on getting rid of those clouds and that sadness. What is it that you all, what is it that you're doing at a NeuroSpa?
Yeah, so I think that's a great way to describe it. It's kind of like the next evolution of psychiatric treatment. We had, you know, back in the day when you were depressed, they would just put you in an institution, right?
Right.
And then, you know, we got the medications, and that was a big breakthrough. And that's been working really well for years. But this is kind of the next evolution of treatment where we're actually able to target the specific areas of the brain that are kind of out of sync and kind of sync them back up using these magnetic fields. And I know this sounds kind of like hocus pocus or like new agey stuff, but the science behind this is amazing. We actually have brain scans that can show the brain out of sync, and we can actually show the treatment working and syncing the brain back up. It actually makes the brain fire, this treatment. So, you know, to try to describe it in a few sentences, it's kind of tough because it's such a different approach toward treating depression. It's kind of hard to wrap your mind around. But that's kind of the basics of it. It's kind of like the next evolution treatment, and it uses like magnetic fields, kind of like an MRI magnet, is a good way to think about it. And what's allowed us to do this is the technology that came out in the late 90s, where you could put a bunch of depressed people in a scanner and you could actually see the depression when you compared it to people who weren't depressed.
Wow.
And so we used to think of the brain as kind of like a bowl of soup, right? You have all these neurotransmitters bouncing around, and if we add some serotonin or norepinephrine, then we can balance the neurotransmitters. Now we think of it as kind of a series of networks and connections between different parts of the brain. And if you've got depression or anxiety, your connections between the parts of your brain are out of sync, and we can kind of sync them back up now. So it's really cool.
It is so cool. And I know, like, here's the thing. So I've been doing this treatment, this TMS treatment, since for about a month now. It was just around, I want to say, March 13th when I had my first treatment. And prior to that, I was the same as maybe you are listening, and I was like, okay, well, we're just going to give it a shot. I don't really know what to expect. It has been... I have seen a marked difference with this treatment. And I want to just kind of go over how it works, or I guess what the process is, like if you were to go into the office. Because, again, I was a little nervous, Dr. Upshaw, because you go in the office and you're like, okay, wait, so this little thing is just going to just sit on my head. What is happening? And so can you kind of go over what it does, and I guess what to expect if someone were interested in going to a NeuroSpa TMS center and doing this treatment?
Yeah, yes, absolutely. But to kind of tell you, I kind of feel like a crazy person sometimes because this technology has been out since 2008. It's been FDA cleared since 2008. It's covered by every major insurance, including Medicare. I've been doing it since 2010, and the results that you're having, Holly, about half the people get those amazing results. Another 75% at least get some great results. And I've been seeing this since 2010, and it still hasn't kind of caught on in the public's consciousness that this is out there, even though, you know, in psychiatry, it's considered mainstream. It's covered by all insurance companies.
Right.
But basically, it seems like a big deal. You're coming and sitting in a chair, and this magnet comes next to your head. But all that magnet is doing is producing a very small magnetic field. And if you guys remember back from physics, if you have a strong enough magnetic field, it can actually generate current in a wire. And so your brain is just a bunch of wires. And so you're putting this magnetic field over a certain spot of the brain, and the brain is actually firing. Magnetic field is causing the brain to fire. So a magnetic field is painless. It doesn't do anything other than get the brain to fire in that one spot. So it's almost like, you know, doing physical therapy for your brain.
Right,
you know,
right.
You're just, if you had a shoulder injury, you would go and you would work out that injury and you would get it stronger. And so that's what it's doing. It's just having the brain fire in this one circuit and reestablishing this circuit that's become out of sync. And so it doesn't hurt. It's completely painless. There's really zero side effects. I know it sounds crazy, but
yeah.
There's really no side effects with the treatment. I can't even remember the last person who dropped out for any reason. And these are people who come every day. And the reason they come for treatment is that it works and they're feeling better. And the other thing that's really cool is back when this came out in 2008 and we were doing it in 2010, I was on faculty at USF and we had two of the first machines in Florida. We didn't know how well it was going to stick, right? We saw people getting better, but like we didn't know, were they going to have to come back for treatment? Were they going to have to continue to get treatment? And the cool thing is this treatment tends to really stick well. So when you finish, you usually keep the benefits for at least a year. And a lot of patients who I see are able to get off their medications. They're not on their medicines anymore. They're feeling better and they don't have to take medicine. So it's really cool stuff.
Now, when it comes to the level of depression or anxiety that we're dealing with, I mean, so Holly, you've been pretty open about the fact that, I mean, sort of depression runs in your family.
It does.
You've dealt with it for a long time.
Yeah. And it's hard sometimes to, even if you are like, well, I deal with some depression, but I'm dealing with it. Like for me, that was me. I'm like, okay, so, and just being open, I was on Zoloft before I had my daughter, and then I kind of got off of it because of the pregnancy and everything, and then went through really tough postpartum depression, which I didn't even know was postpartum depression at the time.
Right.
And then when my mom went through her whole health thing in 2017, I got back on Zoloft, which is an anti-depression, anti-anxiety drug. And so I've been sort of like, I'm okay. I mean, I'm fine. I feel very normal. Well, I started the treatment, like I said, about a month ago, and literally this weekend I had a conversation with the guy that I'm seeing, and I was like, so do normal people feel this good, or is it just that I was feeling so bad? Like, I was like, it's almost like, whoa, what is reality here? Because I can't believe I was, like, dealing with just meh and thinking it was normal. And so it's, I don't know exactly, maybe Dr. Upshaw, you can speak to this, but I'm guessing that it's a range of different levels of depression that this therapy actually helps.
Right. Well, this can help with even mild depression. And that's the cool thing is I basically say, you know, anyone who's bad enough where they're considering getting some help, right, either seeing a therapist or taking a medication, would probably benefit from this treatment. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it from a medical standpoint, mm-hmm. we're always looking at what are the risks of the treatment versus the potential benefits.
Right.
Well, the potential benefits is basically we can get your brain functioning optimally and there's really no risk. And so, you know, I think that the cool thing about this is I've been doing psychiatry for about 15 years. And compared to medications, when people do well with this treatment, they just have a different response than they do with medications. It's just that some things I hear are, you know, I used to worry all the time and like my mind's like a merry-go-round. And now I feel like I can step off of that when I start to get anxious. Stuff that used to bother me and really upset me, it just doesn't bother me as much as it used to. I have this new kind of sense of motivation when I wake up in the morning. And these kind of things I hear from patients that get better with TMS, I don't hear that as much with medications. And listen, medications are great. They help a lot of people. I still prescribe medications. But again, I've been saying this since, you know, 2010 when I first saw the results of this. I really feel like this is the next evolution of psychiatry. And most psychiatrists who are using this technology kind of agree with that.
That's so fascinating.
And that's the thing. Like, you kind of sound like a crazy person. You're like, have you heard about this? And the shocking thing is that so many people haven't.
Right.
I mean, I've been, you know, dealing with psychiatry and psychology for years now. Literally had never even heard of this until I was introduced to Dr. Upshaw and NeuroSpa TMS. And it's just like, why are more people not talking about this? So that's why I was so pumped to be able to get the treatment done, to be able to talk through it with an endorsement. And it's tough because I'll talk about it on the show like 60 seconds at a time. And how do you squeeze all this into that?
Right.
So I'm trying as hard as I can to kind of convey it. But that's why I knew we needed to talk to Dr. Upshaw on the podcast longer form.
Yeah, and I appreciate you guys for having me on because this is really become like, my mission here is to try to get the word out, because there are so many people who are walking around on antidepressants that are maybe not working for them or giving them side effects, who would qualify for this through their insurance, and they don't even know it's an option. Doctors aren't referring for it like they should, because they don't really know, when do I refer it? You know, at the beginning, after they failed one medicine, two medicines, you know, when do I send the person? And so, you know, for me, I'm just tired of waiting for everyone else to kind of get on board with this. And I'm just kind of like, okay, let's just put it out there.
Let's get it out there and do it.
What happens, you know?
What I'm curious about.
I interrupted.
No, you're all good. When do you know that you should do this? Because I've always struggled through the years with knowing if what I'm feeling is just, I'm having a bad day, or maybe I need to seek help. Maybe I need something like this. Maybe I don't need to get on medication. Maybe I need that. Like, how do you know what's just everyday normal? I'm having a bad day, or I'm having some anxiety about work because, or like right now, we're in a world pandemic and this will pass. When do I know that this is something that I should look into?
Yeah, the pandemic is throwing everyone for a loop right now. My colleagues and I, we don't know this, you know. In psychiatry, mental illness is actually pretty predictable. And so when people come see us, we're like, okay, we know where this is going. We know, you know, what's going on. You're having trouble with your loved ones, or you lost your job, or, you know, this is a chronic depression. But with this outbreak, we don't know what's going to happen to people. You know, we're just kind of ready for whatever. I'll tell you the big things that I tell people in terms of what you should watch out for is if you're feeling pretty bad on a daily basis, right? So if you're still having a good day here, a bad day here, you know, that's something that you can kind of keep an eye on. But when you're consistently feeling, you know, down or depressed or anxious to where it's interfering with your ability to function or to enjoy life, and it's happening kind of on a daily basis, that's when it's definitely time to seek help. Another big symptom is if you're not sleeping. Now, some people are just chronic insomniacs, but if you're someone who, you know, gets regular sleep and all of a sudden, over the last 2-4 weeks or something like that, you're not sleeping at all. That's also usually a pretty good sign. And then also, you know, if people have loved ones who they're concerned about, when someone who knows you well starts to be worried that something is getting worse for you, that's also a good sign. Either, you know, the loved one coming to them and telling them they should get help, or the person kind of realizing that people are concerned about it. That's another big one.
As a therapist, you are, is that the correct title for your background?
Yeah, so it's super confusing. I know. I'm a psychiatrist, so I went to medical school and I can prescribe medications prescribe this treatment. But I also talk with my patients, obviously. So a therapist isn't wrong. But therapist is someone who went to psychology school or a mental health counselor and usually does therapy sessions with people.
Okay, so, got it. Okay.
So,
what I'm interested in, because, and tell me where my thinking is wrong, is depression hereditary, or can it be triggered by something like the pandemic? Because I'm wondering if someone is like, well, I've been great most of my life, but now as we are sitting here in all of this uncertainty and I'm feeling really stressed out and bad for the past couple weeks, but I've never dealt with it before, can it be triggered by something like this to where you need to seek help like this?
Yes, absolutely. That's a great question. And really, the TMS has kind of had us rethinking, you know, our theories about depression, because some people who we weren't able to treat before are getting better. So the good way to think about it now is, from a very practical standpoint, there's parts of your brain that when they're functioning normally, you know, you don't have symptoms of clinical depression. And when they're out of sync, you do. So, you know, depressed mood, negative thinking, problems with sleep, you know, problems with concentration, all those symptoms of depression. So, you know, you can be genetically predisposed to that circuit maybe getting out of sync, but things in life can knock it out of sync, right? So this pandemic could knock it out of sync. Trauma can knock it out of sync, all kinds of things. And so if you think about it, if you're feeling depressed on a daily basis, you know, philosophical stuff aside, that circuit in your brain is probably not functioning correctly. So a lot of things could get it back in place. You could go take a vacation, you know, you could get some therapy, you could take a medication. Luckily, It tends to go back into sync on its own. But the other thing that works really well is to do the TMS to get it synced up. We had a patient one time, a younger patient who went through, who said that the TMS was kind of like cheat codes, like a video game. It's like he'd been trying all this different stuff, and then like in 3 weeks, he was feeling better than any time. Mm. So that's really the best way to think about it, is that, you know, your circuitry has gotten knocked out of sync. And if we did a brain biopsy or, you know, an autopsy, your brain itself, the structure of your brain is still okay. There's nothing wrong with the brain. It's just the way that it's connected to itself is out of sync. Kind of like if you had a computer and you had a bunch of windows that were frozen, when that happened a lot, you know, the computer's just not functioning right. You have to kind of reset it.
This is fascinating to me because
that's exactly what I said. Like when I went in for my first sit down with Dr. Upshaw, and he was using some more even like just crazy language. I was like, just keep saying all the crazy things because I am so fascinated by this. Say all the crazy things. I want to hear it. I want like to visualize it in my head because I got so excited about this. It's like my world opened up because right. I was like, this is what I need, and it has been. Like I've just felt better with life. I can't, it's really cool.
I think what I want to speak for, because I'm one of those people where I've always, obviously, I believed in therapy. I have a life coach. I've been to therapy before. I need to go back. Mm. But I remember, Holly, way back in the day when we first started working together, I tried antidepressants for like a week.
Yep.
And then I was just like, whoa. Yeah. I just felt gray. Like, I did not like that feeling. And so ever since then, I always thought to myself, I want to try to, like, I want to feel what my emotions are telling me. So clearly there's something going on that I haven't addressed or I need to deal with. So for someone who's along the lines of thinking like me, where I'm like, yes, some people do need medication, but I've always wanted to feel the feels that I'm feeling. So to me, that's a trigger to maybe something bigger right. that I need to dig down into. Is it replacing any of that? It's just basically getting you on the right track to feeling the feels that you should be feeling. Is that correct?
Yeah, I guess the answer to that question, this is getting into the deeper stuff, which I love, is that, you know, the question for you then is do you have a clinical depression? You know, I don't know. So it's like you can have all of these, you know, questions about wanting to live your best life and do all of these other things and not be clinically depressed. And so what TMS is for someone who has a clinical depression. And where we're at right now is that we don't get MRIs before we do this treatment. We know the right spot to treat. We know when someone's clinically depressed just by talking with them and kind of getting a full history. But where all this is going is that there was a recent study out in San Francisco. I think it was in San Francisco. It was in California, where they had this guy who did functional MRIs for people. Then he did this accelerated TMS protocol that lasted a week. And he had a 95% remission rate on his patient, 95%. And so basically what we're looking at is like eventually, Miguel, what we could do is put you in a functional MRI and actually see, you know, you have a question, am I depressed or not? You know, we could actually, it's going to be going to that point where our neuroscience is good enough that we can actually put you in a functional MRI and take a look at how your brain is functioning and say, you know, is this more of a clinical depression or is this not something that we can really help with?
We live in the future,
but
y'all.
We're not there yet.
I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this is a really kind of be a psychiatrist. My colleague and I talk about this all the time, is that, you know, we are like on the cusp of like a renaissance in psychiatry. It's a really cool time to be a psychiatrist.
Now, just for the sake of transparency, because, you know, I'm sure if someone's listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, like this is something I want to do, but let me talk to my doctor. Are there doctors that are still not very knowledgeable about it? Or should you go into your doctor beforehand and say, hey, I was listening to Miguel and Holly's podcast. I heard about this neuro spa with Dr. Upshaw. I'm curious, what do you think about it? Are there doctors that are sort of like, okay, what is this? Or is there something that you can take to them to say, hey, I've done my research. What do you think about it?
Yeah, pretty much any doctor at this point has heard of this. And the kind of the common thing, because I talk to a lot of these doctors because they refer me patients. A lot of them will say, yes, it works for some people, but I don't really know that much about the details of it, right? So pretty much every doctor at this point would say, yeah, I've heard of TMS. I know that helps some people. I know that it's safe, but they're not quite as excited about it as I am, because obviously I see people get better with it every day who have been struggling for years. So they just don't have enough kind of hands-on experience with it, which is actually, to be honest with you, at the sake of doing a little bit of marketing here, is that that's why we set up the business the way that it is that you can actually just contact us directly. You don't need a referral from your doctor, and we can kind of go over the criteria, see if you meet criteria through your insurance, and we can tell you what the copays are and stuff like that. Because to me, you know, we can't wait for doctors to refer to this. This is really something that people should have access to if they want to try it. And as a psychiatrist, again, looking at the risks and benefits of this, this treatment is safer on paper and more likely to work than a prescription of Prozac. And think how easily people give out prescriptions of Prozac, right?
Mm-hmm. True.
You can go to, you know, any walk-in clinic, say, I'm depressed, and they'll say, here's a prescription of Prozac. Well, this treatment is safer and more likely to work than a prescription of Prozac. So that's where we're going with this, is that eventually this is going to be, you know, the mainstream treatment for depression that people get. That's my prediction.
Right. And I was just going to say, without the side effects of Prozac, because most of the medications that, you know, you could be put on have some kind of crazy side effect.
Yeah. And, you know, there's still people who get on a medication and they're like, it's a home run. That's what I tell people when I prescribe a medicine. We're going for a home run here. We want you to feel so much better and not have any side effects. But that's, you know, probably about 30 or 40% of people. I think what Miguel was saying was that he had tried the medicine and it didn't agree with him that great. He didn't like it that much, right?
Right.
Yeah. It was awful.
Yeah. And that's a pretty common experience. And that's what I tell people when I see them. I have a small private practice too, where I still prescribe medicines. And that's what I tell them. I said, listen, if this isn't a home run, just stop it. You know, this is supposed to help you feel better. If it doesn't, don't stay on it. You know, we'll try something else or we'll move forward. People get into trouble when they get prescribed a medicine and the doctor's like, you have to stay on this for 4 weeks and the person's feeling terrible.
Yeah.
And that was me. That's just, yeah.
Wow. Well, I'm fascinated to look more into this myself.
It's really cool.
Because the experience that I had on antidepressants was probably, it was in 2008, 2009. And I just remember driving across a bridge and just feeling like zero excitement, happiness. I was like, life is gray.
Ugh.
And I was like, oh God, I can't do this. This is not good. But for people that are experiencing that, this may be another option. I love it. Mm-hmm. So what's all of your information to people to get into contact with you, Dr. Upshaw?
Yeah, I think the easiest way is just to Google us, which is NeuroSpa TMS, and we'll come up. You know, I could give you, you know, our phone number, but everyone just Googles stuff these days.
Yeah.
So if you just want to Google NeuroSpa TMS, you'll see us. And when you start looking into the web for TMS, there's so much stuff on this. So if you want to kind of do a little deep dive yourself. But I would encourage anyone who's thinking about taking meds, it's not working for them, or they're on meds, it's not working for us, to get in touch. We said this, so people call in. We got super friendly people who answer the phone and are really nice and are there to try to help. And if this makes sense for you, you should definitely try it. Especially, that's what I say, if you're walking around on meds and they're not working, or you got side effects and it's covered by your insurance, some people don't even have a copay. It's like, you know, it's worth a shot.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, to come through to see how well it works for you, you know?
Absolutely.
Some people just have amazing responses to it. So.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was just thinking, anything to make yourself feel better outside of, let's have a vodka soda.
Yeah, healthy.
No, it's not. But this is something that it sounds like can really have good, positive, long-lasting results.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's awesome. Well, Dr. Upshaw, thank you so much for taking the time to sort of walk through us. And especially right now with everything going on in the world, we all could use a little bit more happiness with every way we can get it.
Yes.
So thank you so much for showing us the way. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys.
Sure,
absolutely.
No problem.
Have
Thank
a great
you.
Day.
All right, you too. Thanks, guys.
So, Holly, how often do you go?
Typically 3 times a week, mm-hmm. like a Monday, Wednesday,
sessions?
Friday type of thing. And you are there for, I mean, the first visit is different because they got to, like, you know, get the first visit is, you know, you have to do the whole setup and everything. Mm-hmm. But once that's over, every other visit is 20 minutes.
That's it.
Yeah. You sit in the chair. And this is what's cool is that they do make it kind of like a spa environment instead of a doctor's office. So they sit you in a chair and it's like calming mood lighting. And then they put on like some meditation music or whatever.
Oh.
And then the treatment lasts 19 minutes and then you're done.
It's so fascinating. Like I'm like, I feel... Yes, I am here for it. But then I also feel like that other side of me that's like what I imagine people said when they were like, you can take a pill to feel happy. And they were like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
What do you mean? Where it's like, it's so out there, but like, I want to try it. Like, yeah. It's so interesting because this is what it means for us to advance with technology as we understand our brain and we understand where depression comes from, where mental illness comes from, where anxiety comes from, and sort of like what's the, yes, you should have these sort of reactions to life events, but when is it affecting you so much that you don't even realize that you have like a really, what is it? Not standard care of life, but a quality of life.
Right.
Where your quality of life is so deteriorated because you can't get past your emotions, you shouldn't have to live that way.
Right. And that's the craziest thing is that I think a lot of people don't even realize they're having a lower standard of living or quality of life because you only know what you are experiencing. Mm. You only see your reality. So for me, I was like, I mean, I'm on Zoloft. I'm okay, you know, like I was having some seriously horrific PMS where I would start to, I mean, like I had some suicidal thoughts, not like I was going to commit suicide. Let's make a clear difference because I don't want it to be like, oh, well, you know, Holly, well, whatever. Like, why didn't you get help? It would be like those every couple days a month, I would just be like so down and so miserable and be like, I'm the worst parent. I'm screwing everything up. It would be better if I wasn't here. And then I'd be like, oh, I got to go make lunch. So it's like, it's a weird, weird thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, and then the rest of the time I didn't feel like that. So I was like, I'm fine.
Right.
After having gotten the treatment, and I'm still continuing the treatment because I think, like for me, it just depends on how many treatments you might need and they can always adjust and give you more, whatever. But since I started, and like I said, it's been about a month, I just feel so much happier.
Mm.
Like it's just bizarre. I can't explain it any other way besides life feels more hopeful.
Mm.
That's it.
When do you feel that the most?
Hopeful?
Yeah. Like when can you look at a moment in your day or what would have normally caused your anxiety to sort of like fly through the roof,
mm-hmm.
but now how does it feel? So for instance, when yesterday we were like, hey, we want to do the show till noon on the air.
Yeah.
Where I feel like, because honestly, yesterday, we talked about it with Will. He called me and said, hey, some of the higher ups are kind of like getting okay on board with it. How do you feel about it? I was like, that's cool. He was like, well, do you want to get on a call with Holly? And I was like, no.
Oh.
I was like, let me figure out how we're going to do it. And then let me call and tell her myself because I know you.
Yeah.
And I was like, if we just call you out of the blue when you're dealing with your daughter and your mom trying to be a teacher. And I'm like, hey, so we're going to do actually 3 extra hours of work every day on top of the daily podcast we've started to do. I was like, Holly will throw the phone and spin out of control.
Mm.
But if I approach her and go, hey, so this is what we're doing, but here's how we're going to do it. And here's how we're going to, you know, it's not going to be like all of a sudden 3 extra hours of work, but there's a way for us to do it smarter. Then I feel like it would hit your ears better.
Mm-hmm.
But with how you're feeling now, if we would have just called you out of the blue,
yeah,
what would have been your old reaction and what do you feel like would have been your reaction now?
Okay, so I feel like the old reaction would have been like, and this is weird, but I'm pretty sure my old reaction would have been like, were they talking about this without me? Like, why don't I get invited to talk about this? Why didn't anybody tell me about this first? Like, why wasn't I in the know first? Now I have all this stuff to do, and now I'm stressed out because no one's telling me anything.
Mm.
But I feel like if you guys had just called me, I would have been like, oh, cool. I mean, I'm still curious about how it's going to work.
Right.
Because that's the kind of person I am.
Yeah.
But
obviously,
I'm not, I don't feel like I would have, like, had a meltdown about it.
Mm.
And then, like, for example, last Saturday, not this past Saturday, but last Saturday, I woke up and had, like, a full open day of I don't know what we're going to do with my daughter. And I was just like, okay, well, we can do whatever we want. Instead of, like, oh, my God, there's, like, 12 hours to fill with something.
Right.
I was just kind of like jump from one thing to the next, cleaned a little bit, did the outside of the house. Like, I just, I don't.
You're able to go with the flow?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sort of like not, wow, I kind of want to send my boyfriend to do this because I feel like I can see like your train of thought in how, because of the stress and the anxiety, where it's like you jump to the conclusion of how it's going to like, be stressful before it's even happened.
Yes.
Before you've like allowed yourself to experience whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And you've already like jumped to like, well, this is just going to be shit.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, hold on. Let's experience this day with no plans and let's sort of see how it goes. Maybe it will turn into shit, but that's okay.
But you know what?
You're still alive.
It's fine.
But
yeah.
Your anxiety and your depression will just sort of like cloud you before you've even gotten to experience it.
Yes.
And then you just sort of shut yourself down before you've even gotten there. Is that correct in explaining how?
Yeah, I think so. That's definitely a part of it. And it's not like I don't have that at all anymore. Like, I'm not, like, just cured 100%, but I feel so much better. Like, I just feel lighter about everything. And that's why, because I'm in the middle of the treatment, so I'm not fully all the way through it yet. So we have to see how that goes. But I just, I skipped last week down the hall.
Mm.
I mean, in the radio station. Like, I was just like, oh, I'm going to get there faster. I'm going to skip. Who the fuck skips? Not depressed people. That's for damn sure. I skipped. I was like, wow. Last time I fucking skipped. Or, for example, and I always take this as note if I'm having a good day or, like, and I would always think that this was a good day, but when I would listen to music and sing with it. And I've been doing that a lot lately because for a long time I've been listening to silence in my car because I'm just like, shh, I don't want to hear anything.
Mm.
The silence was comforting. Now I'm like, let's see what we got going on here.
Yeah.
And I'm just singing in my car.
Scott, do you identify with any of this? You've been quiet.
No, I mean, it's just so much to take in. I mean, I love it all. My whole thought process is I always love to find ways to become, you know, better. Like, is there a way like I could get, you know, more me? I don't know. So it's interesting. I think it's fantastic to be able to finally fully feel like honestly alive, you know,
yeah.
And go through life in a better place. I think it's great. So it's just for me, it's a lot to absorb. And I think it's such a wonderful thing if it's out there and people could try and to hear that difference. Like, that is inspiring. And I hope whoever listens and takes it in, it's just and they feel some sort of way like there are, you know, hopeful ways that could actually change it around. Like, you don't have to settle for this, you know, okay life when it could be much better. Like,
yeah.
For me, like, that is awesome. And if anybody needs that, like, hell yeah. Like, that's great.
That's really cool. I'm happy for you.
Thanks.
And I'm really excited. I'm thinking, like, how it could apply to me and, like, what I deal with.
I think that everyone should be thinking that right now.
Because, like, in my mind, I'm thinking about how I feel like I used to be... Like, I've always been a little bit of a curmudgeon, but I feel like as I've gotten older, I've gotten more of it because it's what I attribute to be tired to where, like, when we're done with the show and, like, we've entertained and we've done the podcast and the show, I'm like, I don't want to talk to anybody.
Yeah.
I don't want to be around nobody. I don't want to do anything.
That's another thing. I'm not as tired.
Yeah, and see, that's what I'm curious about. And it's really struck me the other day when we had some neighbors outside and my boyfriend bounded down the stairs and he was sitting outside and our neighbor was dropping off like little care packages for all the neighbors and they were all in a circle chatting. And I was literally like over the couch with the blinds looking and I was like, God, I hope nobody calls me outside. That's the last thing I want to do is like talk to people because it just feels like to me sometimes that feels like the most draining thing in the world.
Yep.
And so I'm curious if that is something that is going on in my brain.
Very well could be.
Wow.
My it's been interesting because I'm less tired. And when I take naps in the day now, it's not like I like collapse into my bed and immediately fall asleep, which is what had been happening for a long time now, and then wake up and I'm like crabby. Lately, when I lay down to take a nap, because I'm like, I feel like I could use a little rest. Like, even when I'm sleeping, I just still I still feel kind of like I'm not deep in like a sleep hole. I'm like, this is resting. I'm just resting right now. Yeah. And then afterward, when I wake up, I'm more awake. And then I'm like, it's weird because your old way of thinking, my old way of thinking is like, maybe if I could just fall back asleep, I can get more sleep.
Mm.
And then I'm like, no, I don't really want to fall back asleep. I'm okay.
Oh, that's so cool.
Weird.
Might need to get a little.
Yeah, like if there's a way in my to life. Get better, get. Oh.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right, Holly, what's all your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And then on Facebook, it's Holly on Hot 101.5.
Scott?
Scott Tavlin on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok.
Miguel Fuller, MIGUELFULLER. You can find me on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, Twitter, all of them networks. And you can listen to Miguel and Holly Uncensored on the Hot 101.5 app. If you download the free Hot 101.5 app on your smartphone, on the iTunes app, just type in Miguel and Holly Uncensored, and we will see you tomorrow.
Catch up on previous episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored now on the Hot 101.5 app or on iTunes on your smartphone.
It's Miguel and Holly Uncensored, Quarantine Edition from Hot 101.5, made hot by Corona Beer.